Thanks for tuning in to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. My name is Brandon Tates, and I'm the AVL Director here at Fairhaven, and we're so glad you've decided to join us. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Can we thank our praise team? Oh, they're just amazing. Thanks for leading us this morning as our lead worshipers. Hey, if we haven't met yet, my name is Lori. I'm one of the pastors here and excited to be with you this morning. Happy long Labor Day weekend. Hope you have some fun plans. I know there's some people that are really holding tightly onto summer and maybe even camping yet this weekend. And so you're missed. I know some of you are even joining us online today. But I'm excited to continue the series that we're in, called Asking for a Friend. And just this week, as I was preparing, I came across this image. Excuse me, are you going to be filling the bird feeder soon? They wanted me to ask. And under the comments, there's like hundreds of comments, and one of the comments in quotes was, asking for a friend. And I thought, yes, that is perfect. That's what we're getting at today, is asking for a friend. We want to be the kind of church to lean in and answer, or at least respond to hard questions and curious questions. And today we're going to be looking at this question here, why am I the way I am? And I have to admit, oftentimes I don't ask that question as much as I shift that a little bit and go, why is he the way he is? Or why is she the way she is? It's easier, natural even, to sometimes see the flaws and even the immense gifts in other people quicker than our own. Can anyone relate? We have lots of tools nowadays at our fingertips that can kind of help us get at this question. We've got the Enneagram and the DISC and the Myers-Briggs. All these different tests that are coming up here any moment are part of the tools that we can use to kind of get to know ourselves a little better. I remember pretty early on, Greg, when we started working together about 12 years ago, I was in a meeting with him and we were talking about the gifts on our team and then my gifts in particular. And he leaned in and he said, "What animal are you?" And I'm like, "Excuse me, what?" And he named off like, "Beaver." Yeah, like, are you a beaver or a woodchuck or a fox or an eagle? Do you remember this, Greg? Like, all these different mammals he rattled off. But here's the thing. They all had something to do with why we are the way we are, our gifts and our wiring. And so today, we really do want to hone in on that question. Why am I the way I am? Why are you the way you are? And does God have anything to do with that? And if so, what role does he play in that? Because I think that if we could get at that and actually embrace why we are the way we are, it could have an incredible impact on our lives and on the lives of people around us if we understood that. The Bible, God's living and lasting and life-changing word, is full of stories. It is full of stories, just filled with stories that are God-sized results by ordinary people. Unexplainable things have happened, and they all point to the power of God. And so what would it look like for us to live in such a way that we know why we are the way we are, and we can actually, as individuals and as a church, come together and partner with God? What kind of impact could that have? What kind of a different church, different people could we be? I think about Peter and John and what Luke said about Peter and John in the book of Acts, that he said specifically that people saw Peter and John And what they saw is that they were different. And they said they had been with Jesus. That's what they noticed. They saw that they had been with Jesus. Now, I'm not looking for us to all walk on water, but I am wanting us to walk more and more in the presence of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that is what we're going to be talking about today. And to get at that, we're going to talk about two outcomes of the Holy Spirit. Now, before we even get to that, the two outcomes, we've got to ask the question, who is the Holy Spirit? I want to just kind of go a couple of ways with this, because I know when I first started thinking about like the Holy Spirit, maybe as a child, I grew up in the Christian home. And maybe you have, or maybe you're newer to the faith, but I'm curious, what image or picture comes to mind when you think about the Holy Spirit? What comes to mind for you? Fire, wind, maybe a dove descending like it did on Jesus' shoulder at his baptism? For me, I heard not only Holy Spirit when I was growing up, but Holy Ghost. And I wasn't so sure how I felt about that, to be honest. I didn't really care for ghosts too much. I knew two ghosts growing up, though. I knew the Holy Ghost, and I knew Casper, the friendly ghost. And honestly, you got Casper, the friendly ghost, and the Holy Ghost, and I'm like, I'm not so sure. Is this one friendly or not? Do I need to call Ghostbusters? What is going on here? And so, Holy Ghost. It's got different names. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, the Advocate, the Helper. We see all of these in different translations. It was probably at least 10, maybe 12 years ago, I was serving on the VBS team, and I was gathered a bunch of students together to be a part of the praise team, and so we were practicing the lyrics and the motions to this song, and it talks about, it's the song, like, how does it go again? Completely forgot it. So my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. And the bridge to that song says 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. And immediately, one of the students, I still remember his name, it was Trevor, he came up to me, he's like, hold on, that does not add up. What are we talking about here? What are we singing? And so I huddled all the students together really quickly, pushed pause and said, all right, you guys, and gave them a crash course, and I mean crash course on the Trinity. And so I said, you guys, it's kind of like we can kind of think of God like an egg. You know, here's an egg. You got an egg with the yolk and the white and the shell. There's three parts to an egg, but it's one egg. And that's kind of how we can think about God. He's three persons in one, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but he's one God. Now, I know that this is not a flawless metaphor, but it helped create a picture in their minds to help understand what we call the Trinity or the triune God. Another kind of misconception that I had growing up, and this was nothing to do with anyone teaching me wrong, it was just kind of what I had conjured up in my mind, is that, all right, so if the Trinity is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I had kind of put them on a power tier. Like, all right, so you got the Father, he's the dad, he's in charge, he's got the most power. And then you got the Son, he's the kid, he's second in power. And then the Holy Spirit, well, kind of stinks to be last. I don't know what to tell you. But now, obviously, I have a greater understanding of the Holy Spirit, right? And how the Holy Spirit is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And the Father, Son, and Spirit, and while their roles are distinct and different, they're unique, they are equal in terms of their power and their authority. Jesus said some pretty powerful words in the book of John to his disciples. He was trying to prepare them for what was to come. He said, there's going to be a day when I'm not going to be here. I'm going to go, but it actually is better for you that I go so that the Holy Spirit will come. And it's like, hold on. How is it better? How is it better for Jesus, who's fully human, fully God, with these young men, how is it better for them to, and how is it better for us that he leave, that he go? That's worth paying attention to. Jesus said, it's better for you. It's better for us that Jesus went so that we could receive the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper. If you want to just dive a little deeper into the Holy Spirit, this is a great resource. It's called The Forgotten God by Francis Chan. I really thought it was a great book and just wanted to share that with you if you want to grow a little bit more in your understanding beyond the whole, you know, crash course egg thing, all right? But today we're going to actually go into the book of Galatians to look at this first outcome. Paul, in the book of Galatians, he's writing to the church in Galatia, and what's happened is there's people there. He says this in throughout the book, that there's people here that are trying to cause confusion in these new believers, particularly around the law of circumcision. And Paul actually goes so far as to call them a name. He calls them agitators. These are agitators. They're trying to distract you and confuse you. And he goes on to say, I wish that they would just go all the way and emasculate themselves. Well, tell us how you really feel, Paul. So he, in this letter, he is talking about all these different ways that you have lived by the flesh. Before you accepted Jesus, you lived by the flesh and you walked by the flesh and you had these fleshly desires. But now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have chosen by faith through grace to believe in Jesus. Now there's a different way to live. It's not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And he says this in Galatians 5. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Notice Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit is. Not the fruits of the Spirit are. It's singular. Fruit of the Spirit is. If you have chosen to believe in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you have all of this fruit. Some of you more than others, maybe. We're all a process, right? It's a process of us being formed. As a matter of fact, just this past year in VBS, I gave this metaphor. We had some Play-Doh up on stage and we had talked about this. So if you're in fourth and fifth grade, you might remember talking about this just several weeks ago in the discipleship breakout. We had Play-Doh in our hands and we were talking about how we're being formed and influenced by the world around us, but also by God and the Holy Spirit. We're being formed and transformed. And are we actually participants in that? Absolutely we are. But it is the Holy Spirit's power that forms us and transforms us. In another one of Paul's letters, we're in 1 Corinthians here. He talks about gifts, but what I want to do first is just kind of talk through. In Corinthians, he's writing the church in Corinth, and he's writing to them about unity and our role in the body. And this is what he says, starting at verse 1 in chapter 12. It says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. It's a lot of repetition there. Did you notice that? Look at it. It says, same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Paul wants to make a really clear point here that these gifts come from God and God alone. He is the source. In verse 4, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. That word gifts here in the Greek is charis. Or charisma. It means grace and or favor. Today, when we think of the word charisma, we think of someone's social ability, right? We think of how maybe they're just naturally engaging and attractive on stage. or maybe it's someone who's in an interview process, and we might talk about his or her charisma. But charisma was originally used in the Christian context to refer to a gift that was bestowed upon someone by the Holy Spirit. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 4, 7. He says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That word grace here, again, in the Greek is charis. Each one of us has these gifts, this grace, this favor, this divine enablement. If it's something that we've earned, it's not charis. If it's something that we deserve, it is not charis. Because these gifts of the Spirit are not earned, they are not deserved, they are gifts. Now, you might be saying, well, hold on, Lori, like, I actually work really hard on my talents and to grow myself. I've worked really hard to get where I am as a business leader or in this community. Yes, you have. I just had this conversation with our youngest just a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about our gifts and in particular how talented I think she is. And she's just so smart and hardworking and generous and thoughtful. And she has surely participated in growing her gifts and strengthening her gifts. She's done everything she can to maximize her leadership in the business world. And the source of her gifts, this favor, this grace, this divine enablement, the breath in her lungs, the breath in our lungs is from God and God alone. And so let us not lose sight of the source and where these gifts derive. The second outcome of the Holy Spirit, if you didn't catch it already, is gifts. And notice that one is plural. We all have gifts. Paul goes on to say there are many gifts. That means nobody gets all of them and nobody gets none of them. We all get some. And so let's read about what some of those gifts are in 1 Corinthians 8, starting there, or 12, verses 8 through 10. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. And if you haven't noticed or you've forgotten, it's by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, interpretation of tongues. Paul goes on in this chapter and says, we need all of you. All of these gifts are such an important part of the body. He gives this metaphor. It's like the church, the body of Christ. It's like a body. Like a body has many parts, the ears, the hands, the nose, the eyes. Like we have one body, all the parts are important. So is the body of Christ, his church, not just this church, the capital C church. Paul lists even more gifts here in Romans 12, starting at verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. All these gifts, mercy, prophecy, healing, wisdom, faith, miracles, serving. I wonder if some of you sitting here today, as you look at that list, go, yeah, I think I actually have one of those. All right, I have two of those. Or maybe there's someone sitting next to you right now and you're like, oh, they totally have that gift. They totally have that gift of generosity. These gifts tend to give us different eyes. I want us to think about this for a minute. We come to any space with a different perspective, different eyes, and part of that is because of who we are. We come into this room, let's say, for example, we're all gathered here up in the worship center, and someone with the gift of administration might walk into this space and notice that some of the chairs are a little out of alignment, and they notice a few pens that are missing, so they might straighten those up and grab a few pens. That gift is really important. We want to be a place that is organized and welcomes people warmly, and that people have everything they need to come and bring their worship and to learn about God. Let's say someone comes in to this very same room. They don't notice the pens. They don't notice the chairs. What they see is that someone is sitting alone over there. And so they go sit by that person because they have the gift of mercy and hospitality. We need that because we want to be a place that warmly welcomes people and a place where people can belong before they believe. Same room, different eyes, according to our gifts. I came across this kind of silly story, but I think it drives the point home and how we can kind of see different people's gifts within a family unit. Thanksgiving's around the corner, right? Whether we like it or not, it's coming. and we might find ourselves in a place where we're all around the table together. This is how it might look with these gifts all played out, all right? So someone inevitably drops something. Let's say someone drops the dessert at dinner. Here's what each person would say according to their gifts. Mercy would say, "Oh, I'm sorry, are you okay?" Preaching would say, "That happens when you're not careful." Service would say, "No problem, I'll clean it up." Teaching would say, "Well, the reason it fell is because you had too much on one side of the plate." Encouragement would say, "That could happen to anybody, you're good." Giving would say, "Here, have my dessert." And administrative would say, "Sally, you get the mop. Todd, you get the washcloth. Bill, you get the," you get the idea, right? All the gifts of the Spirit are necessary. And together, we make up the body of Christ. Fuller Seminary did a study years ago and found that 87% of the body of Christ doesn't know their body part. They don't know where they are. Imagine for a moment, Mark, if 87% of your body didn't know how to function. That'd be a problem, wouldn't it? A problem you'd want to kind of work on resolving, right? That's why it's so important, I think, for us to know why we are the way we are. And part of that is our gifts. And so I want to give you just two really practical ways to explore what your spiritual gifts might be if you have not discovered that before. The first one is to text gifts to this number. And I just want to give a disclaimer here that it's going to send you an assessment, but it's not from our church. It's from a church called Church of the Highlands. And I'm not endorsing everything that they do. I don't know a ton about the church. I just know I found this resource. It's free, so that's a bonus, right? And it was helpful for me. And so I wanted to give you a really easy way to use your phone. You can check that out, get the assessment, and follow through with that, okay? If I had the gift of technology, I probably would have made one for you, but there's a reason why I'm not back there and I'm up here, okay? Second way is to visit the Next Step Center. We have paper copies for you, all right? So you can go ahead and stop by the Next Step Center, grab a paper version of a Harbor Church's gift assessment. Here's what I want to encourage you with, if that's something that you're going to do. Don't just make this assessment, whether you do it by paper or online. Don't let it just be about checking boxes. Say a prayer and make it a meaningful next step in your faith journey. to discover where you are gifted. I think you're gonna feel affirmed. You might even notice like, oh, that's why I have this urge to pray for people sometimes. That's actually one of my spiritual gifts. How can I lean into that more at church, in my neighborhood, in my workplace, right? Second thing I wanna do is encourage you not only to look at this as a meaningful next step, but to process it with someone. Maybe either do it with someone or find someone that you can share your gifts with. And if you need someone, I'd be happy to go out for coffee with you. And I know our staff would. I know our CCT, our campus care team would love to be a part of some of those conversations as well. Paul in Ephesians 4, verse 11, says this about the gifts. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Why? Why do we have these gifts? For others, so that the body of Christ may be built up. We have the fruit of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. And I think it might be helpful to think about it this way, that the fruit of the Spirit has to do with us, our character. We're becoming more and more like Jesus. And our gifts, that's about our calling. It's about others. So fruit, it's about our character. Gifts, our calling. Now, if you're thinking right now, yeah, that's all good and great, but you don't know my story. Might be a few of you in here today that feel like your story may disqualify you from using your gifts. Maybe you've made some mistakes, or you've been in some painful circumstances that have caused you to kind of feel stuck. And I just want to encourage you today to consider that the very thing that you think may have disqualified you could be the very thing that God is now using to form you in deeper ways and sharpen your gifts and deepen your empathy so that you can now go serve others and build up the body of Christ. St. Teresa of Avila said this: Christ has no body on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassionately on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We have gifts of the Spirit. And neither of those are possible without the power of the Spirit. I have these two microphones here, and they look alike, right? They have the same design. They're pretty well the same. They have the same potential to amplify sound. And yet, if I were to switch microphones, because it's missing the power source. Jesus said in John, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Remain in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus said, stay connected to me, remain in me. How do we do that? There's
hundreds of ways, but let me give you two that I think are just core to the Christian faith. And the first is to read his word. Read his word every day to stay connected to him and his power. It's building a relationship with him. If that's not a daily rhythm that you practice right now, today is a great day to start. It's September 1. What would it look like for the next 30 days to read at least one verse a day? You could start right in John 15 about this very matter and just see the impact that it has on you. The second way is to have conversation with God like a friend. Tell him how you're feeling, your joys, your gratitude, your challenges, your pain. Listen to him. We call that prayer. Jesus said, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." May that be us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today for you, for this ancient text that is so relevant to us even now, some 2,000 years later. We praise you, as the psalmist David said, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. We know that full well. God, for the ways that you have poured your grace, your favor, your divine enablement on each and every one of us, we thank you and give you praise this morning. And we pray that we would not be a body that is confused about what part we are, that we would know our calling that is divine from you to be a unique and important part of your body to build your kingdom so that more and more people would come to know you and love you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. As you are tuning in, our hope is that you were encouraged and inspired to take the next step in your faith journey. For service times and for more information about how you can become a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.